So I'd like to open it up. I'm not going to speak for long. What time do we have to leave? 5 o'clock? 4? Half past 4? 4:30? Okay. I'm just going to speak a real short word on the secret place when we get through. But I'd like for you just to take a little while and just where you are, you can speak out or stand up. Let's stand up and then just tell us what the Lord said. Okay. Who's first? Oh, there's lots of people. I know lots of people heard his voice because you came up to me privately to tell me. So you said you're going to tell this to everybody. So, okay, go. Ready, steady, go. Who's first? Okay. You. Bless you. And guess what? Look, I've got a watch. The Lord gave me a watch today. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you sow and you reap. You just sow and you reap. Girls, get into that wonderful plan. You're going to just reap a bountiful blessing there, Brenda. You are. Because when you sow, you reap so that you can sow again, so that you can reap again, so that you can keep sowing. So, thank you. Thank you for that word. Anybody else? Okay, come on. Anybody else? I was weeping with them and they're telling me, I was thinking, oh man, it's very good. Then I see how they're gone. Anybody else want to share something? Okay, anybody else? Something the Lord spoke to you this morning. Going, going. Okay. Are you getting sleepy? Have you been quiet for too long? Is it going? Okay, I'm going to talk fast, okay? So you'll have to listen. And it's really a word that the Lord has just begun to give me in my heart. It's like, you know, with every word that He's given me, He's developed it along the way. And so, I mean, He's just developing it in me. So I bet about a week or two's time it'll be different yet. But it's on the secret place. Dwelling on the secret place. And I'd like us to read Psalm 91. It's a wonderful psalm. I just love Psalm 91. I really feel in my heart I want to learn the whole thing off by heart because it's so rich. There's so much truth in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Verse 1 is, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word secret place just kind of grabbed my attention. And I began to ask the Lord, what is the secret place? What is the secret place? And he just began to show me. I was doing a retreat down in Corpus Christi a few weeks ago, and I'd flown in around lunchtime, and I had a few hours before the evening service, and I lay out in the bed, and I thought, oh, well, I'll just take a little nap, you know, because I was tired and having got everything ready, you know, family ready and everything before you go. And as I lay on the bed, the Spirit of God began to speak to me, and it was like, I mean, it was like, get up right now and write it down. It was boom, 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 boom. And he gave me 7 things about the secret place. And some of them we've touched base on all weekend, and so I'm not going to develop at all. But the first thing he told me about the secret place is that it's a place that you dwell in. He who dwells in the secret place. You know what my problem was for many years? I visited the secret place. I visited. I didn't dwell there. I would flit in and out. You know, I would just, well, I've got a 5-minute flit here, and I just, oh, I've got to snatch 10 minutes there. But it's an attitude of heart. I've discovered that the secret place is an attitude of heart, that I dwell there. I settle down and nest, and I dwell in the secret place. And so I'm just going to quickly give you the 7 things the Lord gave me about the secret place. The first one was, it was a place of invitation. I love it. He who dwells in the secret place. And you see, it's all of his children. He who dwells. It's like, whosoever will may come. Ah, can come. It's an invitation. The Lord extends an invitation to you today, will extend an invitation to you tomorrow, and every day for the rest of your life, to come and dwell in his secret place. Come and dwell in that secret place. It's an invitation he wants to give you. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 10a says, you know, come away, my beloved. Come, come, let's go and dwell in that secret place. Let's go and, let me just enjoy you. Look it up. We won't take time to look it up now, but Song of Solomon chapter 2 talks about the secret place, of dwelling in that secret place. The second thing about the secret place is that it is a place of intimacy. We've spoken about intimacy all weekend long. But it is a place of intimacy. Psalm 91 says to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, if you wanted to stand in my shadow, you're going to have to come real close to me. If we were outside and the sun was shining, you'd have to be right close to me to stand in my shadow. And he who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty, that means you're dwelling right close. That secret place is close to his heart, close to his heart. It's a place of intimacy. Somebody once said the word intimacy can be broken down. I know school teachers have got a name for this, but I don't remember it. It's like into me see. Intimacy. It's like into me see. I into him see. Do you understand what I'm saying? I look into him and he looks into me. Into me see. We get so close that we eyeball to eyeball. He looks into my heart. I look into his heart. He hears my voice. I hear his voice. I'm just intimate with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says this, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Have you ever seen two old couples that have lived together for 50 years? And how they talk alike, they think alike, but they even start to look alike. I mean, is that amazing? But isn't that true? They begin to even look alike. Their mannerisms become the same, you know? It's just like they become so alike. Because they've lived together for so long. Now the Lord said, as we are intimate with him and into him see and he into me see, and I behold as in a mirror his glory, I will be changed from one degree of glory into another degree of glory. And I want to tell you something, girls. I'm more glorious today than I was when I was here in the spring. And next spring, I'm going to be more glorious than I even am today. Because you see, it's a growing experience. The Christian life is a growing thing. Not any of us stagnate. None of us settle down and don't go any further. Let me tell you something. When you stop, you really go back. You never really stop. If you're not moving on with Him, you're really going back. And He wants to move us on from one degree of glory to another. As you just expose your heart, this is not hard work. Somebody had the word, and I think the ladies left too, had the word this morning, the Lord told her to rest. Just to rest. And I visited with her last night and counseled with her last night, and she said, man, I've never felt like the Lord just put His arms around me and loved me. She said, but this morning when I went out into the fields, the Lord said, come put your head on my lap. And in the spirit, she went and put her head on the Lord's lap, and she was just weeping. And she was keep thinking, oh, I need to say something, I need to tell Him. And He was just putting His hand over her mouth saying, hush, hush, just rest, just rest, just receive my love. You see, we've been so orientated to work, haven't we? I've got to do, I've got to work, I've got to strive, I've got to, you know, witness, I've got to give, I've got to work at the church. Every need that there is, anybody's ever had in their life, I've got to meet it, you know. And the Lord's saying rest. He says in Hebrews 4:1, look it up, just reference it. I feel as you don't enter into that rest that's been provided for you. I mean, enter into the rest. Come and enter into His arms of love. Enter into His rest. Allow Him just to put His arms around you and love you. It's the place of intimacy. It's the place of intimacy. Entering into that rest. And as you enter into that rest, as you receive His glory and as you just receive His love, you will be changed. You will be changed. You will be changed. The key word to the Christian life to me is not obedience. The key word to the Christian life to me is receiving. Do you know that? Obedience, there is obedience. I'm not saying there's no obedience. Of course we've got to obey when the Lord speaks to us. But you know what? Obedience has been taught like, you step out of line, you don't obey and I'll zap you back into line. I mean, just like the law, you know, you obey the law. And that's never how God intended. I obey because I love Him. The love comes first. The love comes first. And you see, as I'm just in His presence and I'm receiving His love, I'm going to love. I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to love that mother-in-law. But I'm first of all receiving His love. I'm first of all receiving all He wants to give me. All the change that He wants to make in me, I'm receiving it. So I'm opening myself every single day to the Holy Spirit. To say, Holy Spirit, come fill me. Holy Spirit, come change me. Holy Spirit, come and do in me all that You want to do in me. That's the key. I receive His love. I receive His presence. I receive whatever He's got on that table for me. I receive it. And as I receive, I'm changed from one degree of glory into another. It's all grace. It's all grace. We've spoken about the veils that keep us of unforgiveness, of keep us from receiving that intimacy. The hurts of the past, disappointments of the past are all veils that we set up that the Lord just wants to take away. The second thing about the place, the secret place, is that it's a place of listening. Some of you discovered that this morning. As you went out into the quiet place where you were just quiet, you listened and you heard. You heard His voice. You're learning to hear what His voice sounds like. You know what His voice sounds like. I want to tell you, it's your birthright. It's your birthright. Don't let the devil steal it another day. Don't listen to the voice of the stranger another day. It's your birthright to hear His voice, to know what His voice sounds like, and to listen. Be quiet. It was so good what you said, Terry. I mean, some of us need to quit all our incessant words in prayer. We come into His presence and we just Lord bless, and I need all these things, and Lord bless, bless, and we just got all these long religious guilt-ridden prayers that we pray, because if we don't, be scared God will zap us or the devil will get us. I mean, it's ridiculous, but that's what we think. instead of, we just need to hush. Hush, keep your mouth shut. Put your mind over here and let the Spirit speak. Be quiet. Put your ears on. Many times I'm driving in the car and I've turned the radio off. And I'm not even praying, I'm not even singing, I'm just in His presence, in that secret place. And He speaks to me. He speaks to me. My husband loves, he says he gets more revelation mowing the lawn than anywhere else because it's quiet in His spirit. He's mowing, he's working, but in His spirit it's quiet and the Spirit is speaking to him. Or in the shower, or, you know, I mean, the secret place is in the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not just the quiet time that we, you know, that we spend half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour every day, or even if it's only 10 minutes. That's not it. It's an attitude of the spirit. It's an attitude of a heart. When my heart is still, and my heart runs to the secret place, the place where I listen. It's a place of worship. You know, the one of the words for worship, and there's Judson Cornwell has written a wonderful book on worship. But one of the words for worship is to kiss towards. To kiss towards. Isn't that something? Wonderful word. Hebrew word for worship means to kiss towards. One of the girls shared with me today, she said, and she's also not here, I don't think, she said, as I was in His presence, she said, I felt like He came down and kissed me on my cheek. I'm telling you, her life has changed. Her life will never be the same again because she experienced the love of the Lord for the very first time in her life. The Holy Spirit just manifest Jesus to her. And in, as she worshipped Him, as she turned her face towards Him, He came and He kissed her. And she just kissed Him. It's intimacy. Do you see that? It's intimacy. Kiss towards Him. I worship Him. There's a lot of scripture references. But you can go up and, good homework, go look up that word worship and just see what it really means. The fifth place, about the thing about the secret place, it's a place of cleansing. It's not a place of, well, now I've got to get my act together. Yes, I've got to confess all my sins. Some of you did. Some of you today confessed a whole bunch of sins. But you know what? If you've confessed them, then they're over. It's done. You don't have to confess them ever again. Not ever again. Unless you do them again, of course. But what you've confessed today is now finished. He says, they are buried in the depths of the sea and there's a no fishing tag up. You can't bring them up. I had an interesting experience a little while ago. I was, it's about a month ago now. I was having my quiet time and I was sitting on my bed and I'd been reading the word and I closed the word and I began to pray and I was just lying across my bed. And, you know, I don't know what I was doing. It was like I was dreaming, you know. It's like I kind of went into a slumberland. You never do that when you're praying. That's what I did. But I started to have a dream. And I dreamt this whole dream, and as soon as the dream was over, I woke up. I was just immediately awake. And the Lord showed me the meaning of that dream. And you know what He did? He showed me an intent of my heart, a motive of my heart that was impure. This whole scenario, I was at some meeting with, I can't remember the details of the dream anymore, and I'll tell you why I can't too. But it was a whole, I just remember I was at a meeting. But He showed me a mote of my heart that was impure, that only He could have shown me. And as He showed me that motive, I began to weep. I said, oh God, forgive me. I ask for Your cleansing. And for the next 10 minutes, I just wept and I repented before Him that motive was in my heart. I said, oh God, forgive me. Do you know, He just brought peace to my heart. I felt the washing of the blood of Jesus upon me. And He washed it so clean that I can't even tell you what it was. I can't even tell you what that motive was. I can't even tell you what that sin was in my heart. And I think the Lord allowed me to experience that, you see, because the devil's the one that, that reminds of our sins, isn't it? He keeps on bringing up old past sins that we've confessed 1,000 times. And the Lord says, what sin are you talking about? I don't even remember it. It's over, it's done. And as I confessed that sin and that motive of my heart that was impure to the Lord, He just removed it so far from me, from the east as from the west. He just removed it from my heart, from my mind, from my thoughts, and I knew I was different inside.
So the secret place is a place of cleansing. Now, if he doesn't convict me of anything, I don't confess anything. I don't come to him every day and say, Lord, forgive me for all my many sins. You know, if he doesn't convict me of a particular sin, I go for days and I don't sin. I haven't sinned today because he hasn't convicted me of any sin. You see, some of us become so sin-orientated, so sin-conscious that all we think about, well, I've got to have sinned today. I bet there's something that I did that was wrong. Isn't that right? That's how we think. There's got to be something that I did wrong today. But honestly, if you really had to think, well, I can't really think of anything, but I suppose there is. So yeah, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me for my sins. That is being sin-conscious. That's giving the enemy ground. I mean, don't do that. Don't do that. When he convicts me of a bad attitude, then immediately I say, Lord, forgive me for that bad attitude. Forgive me for that judgment. I put it under the blood and I move right on. I deal with it right then and there and I move right on. If he's not convicting me of sin, hey, then I walk in life, in joy, in peace, and it's good. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm whipping through a wonderful truth here that I'm just throwing out there for you. Some of you are going to get it, and I know some of you are going to have to chew on it for a little while to get it. But it's such a wonderful truth. If we don't, we're not so many of us are so sin-conscious. We're always worried about it. I mean, every time we come to prayer, we just think, well, I've got to confess all these terrible, terrible sins. Only if the Spirit shows you to confess them. If he shows it to you, yes, do it and put it under the blood. But don't even wait for your quiet time. Do it immediately it happens. Do it when it happens. You know, I yielded my kids. I lost my temper. Lord, forgive me. Kids, I'm really sorry I acted like this. Or I had this judgment. I just spoke this judgment against somebody. Lord, forgive me. Boy, I'm so sorry, Father. Lord, cleanse my tongue. I'm sorry I spoke a judgment against so-and-so. I mean, I deal with it immediately. I don't let it build up in my life so that I've got to have major spring cleaning when I come to the next ladies' retreat again. I deal with it every single day in the secret place. Okay. Okay, the sixth one, it's a place of refuge. It's a place of refuge. Psalm 91, verse 4, verse 10, verse 11. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's a place of refuge. We do not have to fear whatever the enemy might throw up. I can't tell you. I recite these verses to myself every single day as I walk. Lord, you are my refuge. You are my strong tower. The righteous, and I am righteous, Lord. I can run to you and I can be saved. You are the pillar that I can lean on. I mean, I just go through all those phrases from the Psalms and I just speak them out to the Lord because he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my sun. He is my shield. He is my defender. It's a true word. It's a confession of my mouth that I just speak out to the Lord. And it builds my spirit as my ears hear it. I mean, I speak it out loud as I'm walking because I'm doing this while I'm walking. You know, anybody who's watching me must think I'm nuts, you know. But I'm speaking it out to the Lord. You're my defender. You're my strong tower. You're my shield. You're my sun and you're my shield, you know. And I'm just speaking this. You're my refuge. I run to you. Oh, and I'm safe and I can hide in the cleft of the rock. You're my refuge. The secret place is a place of refuge. It's a place of fruitfulness. Love it. It's a place of fruitfulness. John 15, verse 4 and 5. Let's just look at those. Well, I'm just going to give you those references. We don't have time to look at it. John 15, 4 and 5. You go home and read it. That when you abide in the vine as he is in the vine, you will bear much fruit. If you are abiding in the secret place, I'm telling you, you're not going to have to work at fruit in your life. Those old vines don't think, oh, I'm going to make grapes, and I'm going to make sweet grapes, and they better be big grapes, otherwise the farmer's going to chop me down. I mean, those branches just abide in the vine. Remember we sang that song last night? Gee, last night seems a long time ago, doesn't it? He is the vine, and I am the branches. I just abide in that vine. And as I'm abiding in the vine, and I'm abiding in him, the fruit of my life is going to be seen and enjoyed by everybody. I'm going to look down and say, hey, looky there, I've got a big bunch of grapes. I didn't even know it was growing. But there it is. Your family will see it. You will, I mean, it's just amazing. Everybody in your family is going to see it. I'm not consciously trying to be any which way. I'm consciously trying just to dwell in the secret place. That's what I'm doing. And I mean, even my husband, every now and again, a little while ago he said, gee, you don't even have PMS anymore. Isn't that wonderful? Because that's the fruit of abiding in his presence, you see. And, Mom, you don't even... Whatever. The fruit. It just happens. I'm not striving over trying to perform and work up godliness and holiness and everything else in my life. I'm just abiding in it. As an attitude of heart, I'm abiding in it. And the fruit is coming. So, in the secret place, there will be fruitfulness, girls. That's a promise. That's just a promise. That's not something you've got to work over. It's a promise to just be received. I love it. Okay. Then the last two things that the Lord just showed me this week, he said to me this. He said, in the secret place, what is dead will be brought to life. In the secret place, what is dead will be brought to life. And he showed me Mark 5, verse 35 on. And you know the story of Jairus' daughter, how his daughter died. And they come and get Jesus and say, please come, you know, my daughter's very sick. And then they come and tell him, well, she's dead, don't even bother to come. And they're all just weeping and carrying on and everything else. And he goes to Jairus' home and he kicks everybody, all the scoffers and the skeptics out and says, what are you weeping and mourning and carrying on like this for? He says, she's just asleep. And they ridicule him. You go read it. It's in Mark 5. And he kicks everybody out and he goes into Jairus' daughter just with her and mom and dad, and in a secret place behind the closed door where nobody else is there, he speaks life to what is dead. I was walking on Thursday morning and I said, Lord, what is there that is dead in my life that you want to speak life to? What is there that is dead in my life that you want to speak? Just like that, the Spirit showed me. I'd had a friend 11 years ago. She was one of my first friends when I came to America. And we'd been friends for many years. And then I think she started going to change of life and just got really difficult. Three times I went to her to try and put things right in our relationship and to try and make things right, you know, because I knew that what the word said about, you know, if anybody's got aught against you, you go to that person. And three times I went, but it's never been healed, and it's been such a hurt to me. That relationship is so dead that, you know, if we were in a group like this, she wouldn't even greet me. And we used to play tennis together every week, twice a week, and we used to pray together. She shared deep things of her heart with me, and I did the same. But it's dead. And the Lord said, the relationship that you have with that lady will be brought to life in the secret place. You know, I got so excited. I began to pray for her. I haven't prayed for her for weeks, months. I began to pray for her. I began to love her. I began to speak blessings upon her, upon her husband, upon her children. And in my heart, I'm just waiting for the day for the Lord to say, call her up and go and have coffee. I mean, I've done all those things. You know, I've called her up and we've had coffee and we've had lunch. But it's like the relationship that is born, just birthed from inside, has been dead. And the Lord said, in the secret place, that which is dead will come to life. Well, I like that, don't you? Next time I see you, I'll be able to tell you how that relationship has come to life. But I mean, this is just brand new word to me, okay? I just got this word this week. And that's what I'm walking through this week. Whatever is dead in your life, in the secret place, it'll be brought to life. And the last one, number 9, he said this, in the secret place, the oil of anointing will flow. In the secret place, the oil of the anointing will flow. I want to tell you something, girls. There is no way I could stand up and speak to you three times on one day, the fourth time tonight, in the physical. You just know, I mean, Mary, you speak. It's just hard on your body. It's hard on your... I could never experience the anointing of the Lord that I've experienced this weekend if I wasn't experiencing it in my everyday life. Monday through Sunday. Everyday life. If I wasn't dwelling in the secret place, there's no way I could come up here and speak. I mean, you'd pick it up real fast. Have you ever heard preachers, you think, boy, that's an old sermon. He's preached that one 10 times. No, zero anointing on it. I mean, you and I have both heard people like that. There's no way you can do it. But the Lord said, in the secret place, the anointing will flow. And he showed me this at 2 Kings 4. And you can read it when you go home. Second Kings 4 from verse 1 through 7. It's the story of the widow of a prophet comes to Elisha and she says, the debtors are at my door and they want to take it.
So you bring your sons and you and the jars into your house and close the door. Secret place. Close the door. And start pouring out. A little bit you got. Okay? You just got a little bit. You feel like today you just got a little bit of anointing. Start pouring it out in your family. Start pouring it out in your family. And fill the jars. Fill every jar. Everyone. Bless your kids. Your husbands. Fill them. Fill them. Fill them. Just keep filling. And eventually she said, have you got another jar? And the son said, that's the last one. There aren't any more jars around. And then the oil stopped. Isn't that a wonderful story? I mean, I've read it so many times, but I'd never seen it. It had never exploded in my spirit as it did on Thursday morning. And the Lord said, in the secret place, the anointing will flow. And girls, you want to know an anointing? It's in the secret place. It's in the secret place that I receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, fresh oil today. Pour out your anointing upon me today. It's in the secret place that I sit at the King's table and receive his anointing. It's in the secret place that I am filled up so that I can give to others. If I didn't have anything, see, that's why ministers get burnt out. That's why, because they're so busy. That's why staff on church things get burnt out so quickly, because they're so busy giving out and they think they're doing the Lord's work, but they're not dwelling in the secret place. And if you're not dwelling in the secret place, you're going to run dry. You know, you really, I know it. I've lived there. I've been a pastor's wife. I know how it is. It's dwelling in the secret place. It's the most important thing for your church, for your staff, for your family, wives, mothers. It's the most important thing you can ever do, to dwell in his place, that secret place, and abide in his presence. Well, Father, it's been a wonderful time with you. I felt like, Lord, this has been a secret place. Just out here, hidden amongst these trees, and just kind of even secluded from the world and from our little worlds. And I thank you for your voice that's been heard so loud and clear. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking. And Lord, I want to speak just your rich blessing upon each of these ladies. Lord, I want to bless their marriages, bless their husbands with intimacy. Bless their families, bless their children, Lord, with maturity. I pray that they will grow up to be godly men and women that hear the voice of the shepherd. I want to bless this church. Oh God, bless this church. Pour out your anointing upon the pastor and upon Mary and upon every staff member and upon every member and every visitor of this church. Lord, I pray that these ladies will go back into the church and pour out the anointing of the Spirit that they've received this weekend, that, Lord, it'll just go as a fire through the whole church. That the whole church will be edified, exhorted, enriched, excited by you and by what's transpired this weekend. Lord, I just speak the blessing, your blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. We bless you, Lord. Thank you. All praise, all glory, and all honor is unto you. I thank you, Lord, for your enabling, and I give you every drop of glory and praise. And Lord, I pray that in the hearts of the women, they will not remember me, but they will remember you, Lord Jesus, and you, that you are the lover of their souls. Lord, I pray that you will have been so lifted up this weekend that you will just be their heart's desire and the very love of their life. In Jesus' name.